Hope you're having a great Friday. Rain on and off and off and on again around Saskatchewan.
They can't seem to make up their mind with what they want the weather to picture to be, too, because every day there's like this. We're back to that
forecast.
Yeah, we get a new forecast and they just keep moving the. Tomorrow's going to be sunny and, you know, high of 21. And then you come in the next day and it's like, okay, we're going to get rain today. Tomorrow's going to be sunny and a high of 23. Nope.
So for the football game tomorrow, the Riders and the BC Lions, the 5 o'clock forecast for kickoff is 18 degrees, 0% chance of precipitation, but a northwesterly gusting wind up to 50.
All right.
So that's Saskatchewan. That's about right. So 18 degrees, not supposed to rain, but windy. For the
chance of showers during the day, though.
Early in the morning.
In the morning, yeah.
I'll be watching that to see if it impacts flag football on Saturday morning. Stay away, rain. We want to get the schedule done for the flag football season with no delays. I'm being a little selfish. And last week I did sit in the rain watching my son play flag football. The only day I didn't pack the umbrellas, of course, it rained. But right now.
That tracks.
It's time for the man, the myth, the legend, Britton Gray.
Get the latest news on your team from the Green Zone.
The Daily Blitz with Britton Gray.
What are you chuckling at over there? Chuckles?
Oh, poor Alex Hale. His first game kicking at Mosaic Stadium in 50-kilometer-an-hour winds. Well, welcome to it.
And Chapman, too. He's new.
Oh, special teams might be an intriguing thing to watch this weekend.
But what would Brett Lawther always tell? It was kicking towards Pill Country. Yeah. That's the hardest one because the north end zone has a little bit more protection with those north side stands. So it's towards Pill Country that can get a little tricky.
But also with the way the south end of that building is exposed, the wind comes in and kind of does a little swirl thing too, right?
Yep. Like,
can be interesting.
Can be a little complicated. Meanwhile, action is underway. The Montreal Alouettes against the Toronto Argonauts. Of course, the story of this one, it's going to be very interesting to see Chad Kelly in his first game in over a year. This game, I won't tell the whole story of Toronto's season, but we get a glimpse of what the Argos are the biggest question mark. Nobody really knows with all the changes that have happened in coaching and all the stuff. What they're going to be.
The dark horse team.
Maybe.
If you will.
But do you believe they're the dark horse team? I have them ninth.
They can be. I mean, let's not forget the Montreal Alouettes a few seasons ago were, it doesn't look good right now. But
third play touchdown Alouettes, Alexander to Philpott, by the way.
A little rocky start here. But, I mean, you know, the thing about the CFL, and we saw it a few seasons ago with the Montreal Alouettes and Cody Fajardo, Jason Moss getting there, everyone had them ninth. You never know until the season unfolds exactly what you're going to get. But, as mentioned, not a great start here for that Argos defense.
A little flea flicker. And a touchdown for the Alouettes less than 2 minutes into the football game. As Tyson Philpott and Davis Alexander are quite the combination.
He's fun to watch.
So the depth chart came out today for the Rough Riders against the BC Lions. No real surprises except it is official Nick Weebs on the one-game injured list because of the head injury suffered from a little bit of contact with Jamarcus Hardrick in practice from a few days ago.
Yeah, I mean, it happens, as mentioned, a padded practice. These guys are ready to hit someone, just hit them wrong. Unfortunate incident. Hopefully he's not out for too long. You never know with head injuries. He's a big part of the special teams group here in Saskatchewan, and you're really waiting for him to take another step. Maybe when he does, if he ever does get the opportunity, much like AJ Allen did, can he take advantage? But it's a loss, but boy, this team, it's about what they wanted to roll out for week one.
What's your score prediction?
I have it 30-27 for the Riders.
30. Ooh.
Like a Alex Hale game-winning walk-off field goal in his first game kicking, or no?
Not a walk-off. He does kick the field goal, but it's that Josh Bell defense that comes up with the stop. Corey Mace has said a couple times when asked, this is Josh Bell's defense. It's going to be different than a Corey Mace defense. And when he was asked to say exactly what that is, he just said, well, we'll see. That's all he's saying.
Is that why they only have like a 6-man rotation on the defensive? I know Hoskins is there, but we're not expecting him to get a lot of reps on that rotation for the Rough Riders. Usually they're going with 8 or 9 defensive linemen last year.
I mean, that's part of it. This is the new wrinkles that Josh Bell is kind of doing. From talking to guys, it sounds like there's a little bit more improvising with what Josh Bell is. Go out, do your job, but you're allowed to take a little bit more liberties with going out there trying to make a play. And so it's going to be different. I know we always said this is still Corey Mace's defense, but Corey Mace has said multiple times this is Bell and company now.
So Jamie's got something to prove BC Lions coming in. And not that he's disregarding the banner celebration or anything like that, but I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think that this team has something to prove as well, that the Riders have a let's show everybody what this new team is about kind of mentality. And I get that. I feel like that's going to have a little bit more momentum, at least in this opening game here against the Lions.
Yeah, I think the Riders do have something to prove. I know players always say we're not listening to the media, we're not looking at everything. They're looking at stuff. They know who people are picking as the preseason favorites. There are media out there who don't even have the Riders in the kind of the upper tier, like the middle tier of the CFL, despite being the defending champions. And so they have something to prove, and a good way to do that is to take on the BC Lions right away. Make a statement if you can and show if the BC Lions are your favorites, well, we might just be right there as well.
And the rivalry conversation too, which we've had, it's there. This isn't a new rivalry. This is a rivalry between the Lions and the Riders.
Whether
they admit it or not, right?
It's getting more intense by me. Once it's a 9-team league, you play multiple teams 2-3 times a year. You see the same teams in the playoffs every year. There's a rivalry with pretty much anyone right now.
You have these two teams playing in the West final too, don't you?
I do.
Yeah, so do I. Preview of the West final and a rematch of the West final. Good luck to Calgary, Winnipeg, and Edmonton trying to chase these two teams down in the division. What was your take on last night's game, Britton? We both got it wrong.
I should have went with my gut. I really wanted to take Hamilton, but I just backed out at the last second and I got convinced with Brady Oliveira. The rushing defense didn't look all that great from Hamilton.
They didn't use Brady.
They didn't.
I know they were down, but seriously.
And all the credit to the Hamilton Tigercats offensive line. I thought they won that game. The way they were able to handle the blitzing from the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Bo Levi Mitchell had time, and when you give Bo Levi time, he can still torch you, and that's what he did.
Man, Hamilton had the ball a lot.
That was back and forth early. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a shootout. And then the Tiger Cats
just
started
kept
to
rolling.
Pull
yeah.
away.
Dave was suggesting that he might be better now than he was when he was in Calgary.
Bo.
You could make that argument. I heard him. He said only time back to back 5,000 yard seasons have been with Hamilton. This is looking really good to start this season. I mean, hey, Trevor Harris had one of his best seasons last year. It seems like some of these CFL quarterbacks are getting better with age.
Yeah. 40's the new 30.
Staying in shape, in
Canadian
right?
Football League.
Stay in shape. Maybe you're a little more comfortable back there.
So we got the Riders and the BC Lions. Locker and Britton are going with a Rough Riders victory. I am going with the BC Lions. What say you? 1-877-332-8255. Of course, Britton Gray will have the Ride to a Repeat feature. You'll hear that one. It's a great feature on Trevor Harris set for tomorrow on the Green Zone pre-game show. Britton, are you going to walk through the tailgate section tomorrow, right? You almost have to.
Yeah, as a journalist, a hardworking journalist, I have to go out there, get a lay of the land.
Me too.
Be completely professional out there.
Locker on the loose.
Though Greg Morgan did tell me I need to jump off an RV into a table.
See, that's the Bills thing. We have to make our own tradition.
I agree with you.
I agree,
Jimmy. And that's why I'm thinking that's why I want to go down there just to sort of see if any traditions start building.
You can bring the garbage can or whatever you bring in that juice.
Yucca Flux.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Make sure there's watermelon in it.
Yeah. You can put watermelon in Yucca Flux. For sure.
We'll see.
You got to make sure you kill that, though. Like, I don't think watermelon is like it's not one of those durable fruits that hang. It doesn't hang around well, right?
That is true. Of course, tailgating. Noon is when you can start to park in your spots.
Let's go.
400 of the parking spots are designated for tailgating. Each tailgating person has two spots, one to park their vehicle and then another spot to put their barbecues and coolers and lawn chairs and all that stuff as well. But noon is when that starts to open. The Grey Cup, it's the Purolator Tackle Hunger Game as well tomorrow. Mindful of that, the Grey Cup will be there for photos in the Riderland Park. Confederation Park will have the Grey Cup to take photos before the game tomorrow as well. And, of course, get to your seats. Probably want to be there about a half an hour before kickoff.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
It'll be right before kickoff, but you want to have your burger and all that other stuff for the banner unveiling.
Yeah, the Riders did tweet out the times where everything's going on. They say be in your seats by 4:47. About 5:04 will be the banner unveiling.
5:04. So, there you go. From the man, the myth, the legend, Britton Gray. Green Zone Rider reporter and tailgating aficionado here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. CFL action going on right now. It's 7-3 for the Montreal Alouettes against the Toronto Argonauts. Chad Kelly looked good on that first drive, just about scored a touchdown, but they had to settle for a field goal. But we had an interesting conversation in the commercial break with Britton, because it was 3rd and 6 from the 21-yard line. And I said, next year, do you go for it?
Yeah.
You would? 3rd and 6 from the 21, because that would be about a 43-44-yard field goal because of the 15-yard field goal post being moved to the back. And you're at the 21. If you missed that field goal from 44, which would be like the 20-some yard line, it gets brought out to the 40.
They get it at the 40.
So you lose like 19 yards of field position. I would hope teams go for it.
So you're agreeing with Stu.
I don't think coaches will, but I think they should. Because 43, 44, they'll be like, that should be automatic. Because
part of the reason why they're moving the, part of the reason is to.
They want more touchdowns. They want less field goals, more touchdowns.
In a 3-down league, you might have to gamble a little bit more when you get that close to the red zone.
I wonder where that line's going to be on to go for it or kick the field goal.
I think it'll depend on where you are in the game.
I bet you it's around that 25-yard line, though. I bet you it's around 25. You see they're 30 yards. You see teams go for it and say, I'd rather go for it and try to score a touchdown or move closer than give you the ball if we miss at the 40-yard line.
You're also seeing like teams putting guys in the kicking position that have bigger legs too, right? So they're trying to offset that gamble option with guys that might be able to kick it. Mm-hmm. Fairly regularly, 50, 55 yards.
Yeah, next year's strategies are going to be very interesting.
Well, it's kind of like, depending on the coach, right? Like if you're down one and you've got 3 minutes left, guys are pulling the goalie, right? A little bit early.
You're going to go for the field goal in that scenario.
And there's going to be some Patrick Waughs out there that, that take more of a chance.
I think so. I hope so. That there's more of a gamble next season. As again, it's 7-3, but Toronto's moving the ball. Chad Kelly looks like he is in form and ready to sling it for the Argos.
They both look good, Davis Alexander and him.
I might have to change my prediction on the Argos finishing dead last in the Canadian Football League.
Ooh, that was a nice throw,
too. Yeah, it was.
He's got some zip really on the ball, good. Eh?
Meanwhile, Canada won. Bosnia and Herzegovina won. It was a draw, but the history here is the first time ever Canada has a point at a World Cup in their 86 debut. They lost all three. In Qatar, they lost all three. No points at all, but a draw gives them their first ever point at a World Cup. They'll try to get that first win next Thursday against Qatar. More coming up here on the Green Zone on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. cars. That's another thing going on this weekend. The Barcelona Grand Prix in F1. We'll see if Kimi Antonelli will make it six straight races for a 19-year-old driver in F1 racing. And the UFC fight on the lawn of the White House.
In the pouring rain. Apparently the weather is awful.
That'll suck.
Well,
that'd be so disappointing.
We don't want Trump to lose his tan.
That's not a tan.
I'm pretty sure that's water soluble.
Just like Rudy Giuliani's hair. The black streak dripping down his face.
And those weaves are not good in a storm.
Jamie Locker with you here on the Green Zone. It is now Montreal 10, Toronto 3, by the way, in the CFL game. Canada gets a draw with Bosnia-Herzegovina, their first point ever at a World Cup.
That was exciting.
When Kyle Lahren scored.
Yes!
We were, it was Britton Gray's feature that was airing, so yeah. You didn't get it on the air. But there was some shouting in the studio when Kyle Lahren tied that game up at one.
I don't think I'm going to watch a lot of the other games. I've sort of wrapped my head around that today. I'm like, I like soccer.
Next Thursday, it's like on Canada. At 4 o'clock during our show.
No. I'm going to watch the Canadian games. I don't think I'm going to watch a whole bunch of other soccer. You're
not going to watch Brazil this week? Oh, I'm watching.
You watch
Brazil,
a lot of the other
Netherlands, Germany. They're all playing this weekend.
I don't know if I can.
When England's playing, I'm making sure I'm close to Sarah Mills when that is entertainment. She was entertained by us today.
Because we were stressing out over, it's She's a stressful like, sport. That's what I was about to say. I was so anxious, down 1-0 for that long, and then to wait for that goal, it was too much. I don't think I could, especially if you'd start.
I was giving up on soccer at one point. Yeah, I was like, I'm not watching any of this World Cup. This is stupid. But Canada did even it up. So big game next Thursday.
How do we match up against Qatar?
They should beat Qatar.
We should beat Qatar. Okay, there's like 64th or something in the
world. They should have beat Bosnia, but Bosnia does take on European teams.
Bosnia got past Italy.
Yeah, they beat Italy in the qualifier. So that is the quality they're up against today. Meanwhile, the Stanley Cup Final, 2 days off. The Hurricanes on Sunday can put it to bed against the Vegas Golden Knights. Our NHL analyst, Drew Remenda, started our conversation of what changed for Carolina to take it to Vegas in Game 5 last night for that 4-2 win.
They were so physical. You and I texted each other. It was the most physical game of the final, one of the most physical games in the playoffs. And it was hard checking, and they were checking. They were pressuring. Yeah. Look at the second goal. They get in. Jarvis gets in. Martinez gets in. He gets inside position on Theodore. He gets around the net, and then he gains control right away. He starts to walk it out towards the net. Everybody from Vegas, who, by the way, their defensive zone coverage is, they're just scrambling right now. They just want to put so much pressure on, but they're not doing it very, very smartly. Bang, goes in the net. That really changed everything. The funny thing, too, in that game was that guys who had been desperate to score, guys that both teams need to score if they want to have a chance to win, they scored. Svechnikov got two. Svechnikov going into that game said it was the most important game of his life. Aho finally got one, and Dorofeev finally got a couple. But here's the thing I didn't know until last night. Jack Eichel has never scored a goal in the Stanley Cup final. And this is his second attempt at that. So that's interesting, too.
I'm curious about Carter Hart and the goaltending in this series. Well, here's the thing. I mean, Torts is being Torts last night, and it's actually even more ridiculous for him to dismiss that question just based on what's happening right now with his goalie. But it's the Carolina Hurricanes, who are not known as an offensive juggernaut. They've got 20 goals in 5 games on this kid, and this is not expected at all, especially from this team. I'm wondering, what would you do? Would you put Aiden Hill in?
No, I wouldn't. Yeah. The reason I wouldn't do it, I love Aiden. Aiden was with San Jose Sharks for a season, and then he went on to greatness, winning a Stanley Cup, and I wouldn't play him for the simple fact that he hasn't played in a while. But there's another fact about that. Back in 2014, Todd McClellan's coaching the San Jose Sharks, start their up 3-0 in the series against the LA Kings, looking like everything's fine. And then we go back to LA and we're down 3-2, but now we're in trouble. And in goes Alex Balock instead of Anthony Niemi. Alex does a good game, strong game, but they still lose. Balock comes back with Niemi in game 7, and it was a bleep show. It was awful.
Yeah.
So I think you've got to go with Ubrunia at this point. Now I would look at some of the game, you know, some of those goals, and I look at them. You try to look at them objectively, and yes, we have those personal issues with Carter Hart that we talked about already. But overall, when I'm looking at the goals that are getting scored against them, I can't really look at, say, it's Carter Hart's fault that, you know, but the save percentage is the save percentage.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is, Busty said it the other day in his first start after he was talking to Kyle Bublakis, that when you make the save, this is Daryl Sutter's favorite thing, when you make the save, it's just important of how many you make. And Carter has not made those saves.
Yeah. Three of those 4 goals last night, too, Drew, were just, they were highlight reel goals.
Yep.
Like,
yep,
the Aho goal, the stall tip again, like, he's on fire.
As Tortorella said, he's killing us in front of the net.
Yep. Did you see the company that he's in right now? With 5 goals in 5 games, or 6 goals in 5 games, Yvon Cornelier, Jean Beliveau, Maurice Richard, and Cyclone Taylor from, what, 1920? Was it the Vancouver Millionaires at the time, or wherever they were? Those are the other guys he's with.
The only ones that have scored a goal in every game in the Stanley Cup Final.
Yep, every game in the Stanley Cup Final. Amazing, isn't it?
Wow,
is he the Conn Smythe now favorite? Oh, yeah. Jordan Staal.
Yeah, absolutely. But I'll tell you what, 22 is not a bad hockey player. Logan Stankoven is one hell of a hockey player. I love watching him. Him going after Kolesar last night just made me laugh. I loved it.
Is John Tortorella allowed to leave his clothes in the hotel room? Like, will they hold that room for him for all those days,
No.
Drew?
No, they won't. He would have to give it to the bellman, and the bellman would then hold on to it. That's pretty cocky of him, but I like it. Mind you, you know what? He's done at the end of June anyway, right? He that's where the contract ends, so he just... Carolina's lovely this time of year.
He might not want that.
He just has to wear. Yeah, he just has to leave one suit there. Really?
Exactly, yeah, he wears the black one with the blue tie, which doesn't matter. I think I talked to him, and then the white shirt. Yeah.
So John Tortorella's suit's bothering you, Drew?
Yes. Well, he's going wears one. He hates wearing suits. You see him after, like, he never wears suits. You saw him in Columbus. He wore a suit with the sweater. And then when he went to Philadelphia, everybody was wearing what the NBA coaches wear.
Yeah.
And
he was kind of the first one to do that, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's not a big suit guy.
I like that about him. Just looking at Sunday's matchup, they're going to be without William Karlsson. They're going to have to do some juggling. So he's the second line center. I'm curious if, like, does he just put Marner in that spot and then sort of... move Howden and hurdle around? Like, how would you handle it? Or do you bring somebody up?
No, you go with. But you're going to have to bring somebody in just to put in the lineup. But I think you have to. I think you got to play your top guy. Overplay them. I think you got to double shift Eichel. I think you got to double shift Marner. I think you've got to make sure that you've got your pretty down the middle. Carlson's a big part of that team.
Yeah,
he's a power play guy. He's a penalty kill guy. He gets hurt and they score in the power play. You know, big surprise. That when you look at the way that Carlson plays, he adds a lot to that team. And as John Tortorella said last night, he's a winner. And that's a big loss. So I think you'll just lean heavy on your other guys.
Drew, one of the big stories of this week, of course, the Oilers are just making all the noise. Now it's Darnell Nurse requesting a trade or being hinted to request a trade. So he has requested a trade. What do you think of... one of the most talked about, debated, some in Edmonton downright despise Darnell Nurse, not the person, but the defenseman, on where his future is in the National Hockey League?
Well, you weren't lying when you said one of my favorite players. He's one of my favorite people ever has come across in the National Hockey League. I love Darnell. But he is one of those guys who's been victim of his contract. He was making $4.5 to $5 million. Nobody was paying anything.
Yeah.
And actually, when you look at his contract money-wise, it was very heavily front-loaded. And now, if from now until when he gets his bonus in the summer, so from then until 2030, when the contract runs out, it's only going to be a total of $23.5 million. So the cap money that you're going to put out when you go through a new team is not that significant, but the cap hit still, of course, is. And that's where it upsets teams. Now, Darnell's been in the playoffs now 7 years in a row. He is, when he's playing his best, he's blocking shots, he's physical, he's skating, he's moving the puck out of the zone. But he's a big part of that team as far as the leadership core goes. He and Leon and Connor go way back from the beginning when this team started to really turn things around. But he's, again, like I said, $9.5 million. And it reminds me of Andre Sekera. And Sek was fantastic. I liked him in Edmonton. Had a bad first year after he signed a big contract at that time, $6 million. The next year, he started playing really well. So I asked him, I said, Reg, what happened? And he went, I stopped trying to play to my contract. And that was it. Like, you guys, it gets in their head, you try to play to that number, and you don't have to. Just go play your game. Now, apparently, he has submitted a list that he's got a full no trade, or no move, sorry, no move. And that's very different. So he's got a full no move. He submitted a list, but they're keeping it private, but four or five teams, from my understanding. One of the teams that's already heavily involved in talking about it is the Philadelphia Flyers. Hmm. Although they're loaded on the left side, when you look at the guys there, he definitely could fit in somewhere on that defensive core, especially the way he plays and how many shots he blocks and the type of defensive play he can bring if somebody can just get him focused on just playing defense. You don't have to be in. Evan Bouchard's going to do his stuff. Just go play defense. And trust me, coaches have tried, but when the pressure is on, Darnell tries to do. It's a silly saying, but he tries to do too much.
That is Drew Remender, our NHL analyst. Game 6 goes Sunday in Vegas for the Stanley Cup.
Is it over
Cup
on
final.
Sunday?
No. It's going 7.
Nothing is going to surprise me.
I texted that to Wheels last night, too, that it's going to go 7, that he shouldn't worry.
Well.
That it's going 7.
I appreciate how gracious he's been with letting you on the bandwagon.
If this series goes one way, I have a story for Saskatchewan on Monday on why Wheels may never talk to me ever again.
You seem very okay with that.
It all started a few days ago when I walked into the lounge with Wheels and Justin and said, you know what? I think I'm going to start cheering for Vegas after Vegas took a 2-1 series lead.
Well, and after they so, like, graciously offered up the bandwagon seat.
Yeah, he said, everybody's welcome.
Yeah. There's room for now everyone.
Now they're trying to kick me off for some reason.
I don't understand it. That doesn't make any sense. Why? Why would a Jamie Nye not get the same courtesy as other fans of the Vegas Golden Knights?
They're not fond of having me around on that bandwagon, apparently, for some reason.
I thought it was for everyone.
I guess not. Champs and Chumps next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOA. I'm going to do double chumps today, Locker. I'm doing double chumps real quick. Chumping Hank Azaria and all the other celebs that are on Taylor Swift's case for having courtside seats to the Knicks game.
I'm not a huge Taylor Swift fan, but I don't begrudge her. She loves New York. I mean, I'm not even a fan of her music, and I know she's a big New York fan.
Apparently, she's being...
She's got a place there.
I have to watch her in NFL games, and now I have to watch her at NBA games, too. It's like...
Oh, it was. It's that it's she's one, ruining another sport.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or you could just ignore it like all the other celebrities that were circling that court. But
and what makes her any more egregious than anybody else?
Like Chalamet? I don't know.
He's kind of annoying.
I think so,
too. He still can't even do his pants up. Like, wear a belt.
The other chump, and I hate to chump him. And next time he's on the show, we're going to have to ask him about it. Only one person did not vote for Matthew Schaefer for their all-rookie team in the NHL. He it was almost unanimous except for one person.
Are you calling out somebody here?
Jim Berenger, Full Press Hockey, did not have him on the ballot.
Jim!
Next time we chat, I just need to know what.
What, do you hate fun?
Z. Buyum and Nikishin of the Carolina Hurricanes got hit. Okay. He's the only one who left Matthew Schaefer.
Not happy.
Yeah. Although Ivan Demidov was a unanimous selection for their all-rookie team, apparently.
I see that.
But champ to the Professional Hockey Writers Association for actually disclosing every single voter's ballot with their name attached.
That's the way it should be.
Yes, indeed. Meanwhile, it is 10-6 for the Montreal Alouettes with Chad Kelly's return. Tomorrow, can't wait for it. Be here at 3 o'clock. The Green Zone pregame show hits the air. Finally, it's the Rough Rider 2026 debut against the BC Lions at Mosaic Stadium. We'll chat tomorrow right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.